Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Durant and Legacy Society's conference call with Christine Cruz Vergara, Wellesley College's Associate Provost and Executive Director for Career Education. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and I'd like to now turn the conference over to Dina Baronke Rashes, class of 1996. Dina, you may begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I'm delighted to welcome you to the first Durant and Legacy Society conference call of the year. I am Dina Baronke Rashes, class of 1996, chair of the Durant Society. I'm very excited about serving in this role and would like to start by acknowledging and thanking my predecessor, Catherine Tohier, class of 1981, for her outstanding stewardship of this group over the last 4 years. Also joining me today by phone is Kimberly Hokinson, Assistant Vice President of Resources, and Lindsay Boylan, class of 2006, chair of the Wellesley Fund. The Durant and Legacy Societies play an essential role in sustaining the college. In addition to providing a stunning amount of financial support, we lead by example, cultivating, stewarding, and soliciting resources to ensure that our ranks continue to grow. At the close of the 2016 annual campaign, the Durant Society included 1,400 members who collectively contributed over $38.7 million to Wellesley. I would like to personally thank each of you for the crucial roles you play in ensuring our beloved alma mater grows from strength to strength. The Wellesley Society honors those who have made life income gifts for the college or remembered Wellesley in their estate plans. Last year, the college received over $13 million in planned gifts and over $20 million in documented bequest intentions. Many of you have seen information about or have had conversations with the Office of Resources regarding our comprehensive $500 million campaign, The Wellesley Effect, chaired by Sid Knaffel, Trustee Emeritus, Sue Wagner, class of 1982, Dorothy Jenkins, class of 1968, and Laura Malkin, class of 1982. I would like to acknowledge the outstanding success of the Wellesley Effect campaign, raising $394 million thus far, and thank our co-chairs for their heroic efforts. As a reminder, every gift and bequest intention made during the course of the campaign period counts towards the campaign total. In addition, all gifts count toward our class totals for reunion. I feel truly honored to thank each of you for all that you do for Wellesley, and I'm so thrilled that you have joined me in supporting the college this year. I am now pleased to introduce Wellesley's new Associate Provost and Executive Director for Career Education, Christine Cruz Vergara. Christine Yip Cruz Vergara comes to Wellesley from George Mason University, where she was Assistant Dean and Executive Director of the University Career Services, a 20-person department serving 34,000 students. She has also held positions in career services and student life at Georgetown, George Washington University, and the University of Maryland. Her contributions to higher education have been acknowledged by the National Association of Colleges and Employers and the Association of College Personnel Administrators. Christine chaired the latter organization's Commission for Career Development. She holds a Master's of Arts from the University of Maryland College Park and a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology and Family Studies from James Madison University. Thank you, Christine, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dina, and thank you for leading the Durant Society. Thank you to everyone participating in this call for your generous support of Wellesley College. I am here with you today to share a little bit about our new model for career education. So just to start, let me provide a little bit of context for those of you on the call I've not had the pleasure of already meeting in other events. I joined the Wellesley community at the end of January and was charged with redesigning what career education would look like for Wellesley College. How can we best prepare our students and our alumni to craft lives of opportunity and to reach your full potential, whatever that might be? So I began my first several months by engaging in a pretty extensive listening tour of stakeholders across the country and even internationally. I met with over 350 students, alumni, faculty, employers, and even parents to learn a little bit more about what was working, what wasn't working, and what the gaps were. Through those conversations, there were five very clear themes that emerged, and those five themes in particular helped to drive the new vision for career education here at Wellesley. Over the summer months, we immediately worked into startup mode, as I say, and we began to bring on the new team members. And as of September 1 of this academic year, we began to roll out the first phase of our new model. So with that, let me share a little bit about what our new model is. Our new model for career education at Wellesley really celebrates the beauty of a liberal arts education and the reason for why students would choose to come to a place like Wellesley. We want to engage students and allow them to connect with the amazing community that is here at Wellesley. Communities and connections are really at the very heart of our model. I think all of us know that that's a strength of Wellesley's, and it was important to me that we capitalize and build structures around that. So to do so, we have four main teams that will allow us to engage students from the moment they arrive on campus all the way through graduation and well into retirement. Our first team is our exploration and experiential learning team. This team, in essence, helps our students to explore the intersection between self and society. What we mean by that is that we want to work with students to really gain a deeper level of self-awareness, to help them discern their values, their preferences, their strengths, and what they might be able to contribute to the world or society, their community around them. But at the same time, as leaders who wish to make a difference in the world, we must also be humble enough to ask, what does the world need from us? What does society need from us? And it is that intersection between the two, what you can contribute and what the world needs, that is truly the sweet spot for each of our students. And we want to help every student identify that sweet spot over and over and over again as it continues to evolve over the course of her lifetime. To do so, the first team will engage our students in experiential learning, things like internships, fellowships, community engagement, and we've also created a new program line of college career mentors. These are highly trained professional staff members that have been brought onto our team who are assigned to every Wellesley student upon her arrival and will be with her all 4 years. These individuals, these mentors, essentially serve as the first person on our students' personal advisory board. One of the things we want our students to recognize is that they have a treasure trove of expertise and mentors and advisors here at Wellesley and beyond, and we want them to start practicing how to build their board and their team of advisors. So this person will help our students to navigate what it means to have a mentor, what it means to have an advisor, how to ask for help, and how to navigate this journey and this process. The mentor, as they work with the student to clarify her interests, will then connect her to the second person on her personal advisory board, a member from the second team, our Career Connections and Communities team. In this team, we have hired new career community advisors that are specialized in different industry sectors. So we have someone for business, finance, consulting, someone for marketing, arts, communication, nonprofit, education, health, so on and so forth. These advisors are really dedicated to helping students develop a strategy for how to break into the internships or careers that they wish to pursue in their respective fields. As many of you on this call know today, how you get into consulting or how you get into education looks nothing like how you might get into the government or how you might get into a public relations firm. And we want to make sure that we are equipping our students with the right information. This is also a place where we will host more customized and tailored programs, panels, workshops, seminars, and a wonderful place for each of you as alums to be able to participate and give back of your time and expertise. The second team is also going to focus on career connections for our distinct and diverse populations. We know through our research and through our work that students from diverse backgrounds, first-generation students, international students, students with disabilities or LGBTQ students might face different challenges as they go about their internship and their job search process. We want to make sure that we're not only providing the training that is needed to all of our staff to work with these students, but we want to make sure that we're also providing the appropriate resources as well. We don't want any of our students to fall between the cracks. Our third team is our Alumni Career Advancement Team, and this is a team that we look forward to building out in the future. This team will really focus on deep expertise on women's career advancement over the course of her lifetime. topics and issues such as mid to senior level transition, getting women onto corporate or nonprofit boards, career pivots, career transitions, encore careers, or perhaps reentry back into the workplace if you've chosen to take time off. These are the types of topics that we know we can gain expertise in, we should have expertise in as Wellesley College, and we look forward to building that out in the future. Our fourth team is our operations and analytics team. This is our team that provides us with the infrastructure and insight to help us influence Wellesley's reputation through our outreach and our outcomes. This is the team that is helping us to develop a data assessment strategy across the entire operation so that we can use it to not only inform programmatic efforts, but also to tell the success stories of our students and our alumni. This is the team that will oversee our marketing and communications efforts to our different populations, as well as to help us implement new technology. As we move forward, we're really excited to partner and work with all of you, and we are thrilled to be able to share that in just the first couple of months, we have already seen great success in the changes that we have started to roll out. To give you a quick snapshot, last September, before we started this whole process, we were able to serve approximately 300 students in appointments. This September, we were able to serve 940 and had over 200% increase. Last September, we had approximately 300 jobs and postings in our database. And this September, since we've made the change with the database and we also have new career community advisors focusing not only on helping students but on also building relationships with employers, we have been able to have 315 unique employers post over 1,500 jobs and internships. So we have a lot of work to do ahead of us, but I think we're off to a great start. And now I'm open to taking any questions you might have.
And at this time, we'll conduct the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone, and you'll be placed in the queue in the order received. If your question has been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press star 2. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity. All right, now we're ready to begin. Our first question comes from Eliza Joseph Anders from the class of 1981.
Thank you. Thanks, Christine. It was great to speak with you. I think it was last month or month before. Really exciting about your being there and having such a quick ramp up and launch, notably of the student program so far. Very excited to hear about the alumni career advancement team and the work it will be doing. And I understand you're starting with students and looking to build out the alumni piece of the program. Wondering if you have a feel for what that time frame will be. The second part of my question is related to the second group in the personal advisory board for students, the career connections and community. I think you mentioned in passing that alumni might have an opportunity to help there as well in connections with making connections with students and helping in those ways. Can you talk about both of those for a minute or two, please?
I sure can. Thank you so much. So first, the time frame for the alumni career advancement team. We hope to be able to roll that out within the next year or two. A lot of it, of course, is dependent on, I'll be really frank with everybody on this call, on funding and support. We are in startup mode, and like any good startup, we are in the process of building out our infrastructure. Our work is only as good as our team, and so that is a lot of our focus at the moment, is to be able to build the correct foundation so that we can hire the right people and so that we can begin to put all of that in place. While we are in the interim and in the midst of doing all of that, we do have two part-time alumni career advisors that are with us that are currently helping to support as well. And, of course, any of our career community advisors are also welcome to take appointments with alumni who may want assistance at the moment. Absolutely. In terms of the career communities and getting involved in those, if you are interested in ever being on a panel and participating in any kind of webinar or event or things like that, please feel free to shoot me an email after this conference call today. I'll be sure to get you connected to the appropriate career community advisor so that they have your name. In the spring, we will actually be rolling out a new platform, which will make all of this much, much easier. We're actually just in the process of working through some back-end technical pieces with our CIO and with the Alumni Association, but we will have a new mentoring and networking platform called Campus Tap that will roll out sometime in the spring semester. And in there, there will be different groups that you can join, whether by your industry that you work in or perhaps by your stage of life or possibly other groups. We are currently working with a small working group of alumni and some that have volunteered to also be part of the beta testing of everything. So as we get a little bit further into the planning, I'll have more details to share about that. But do keep a lookout for the opportunity to join career communities virtually as of spring semester.
And as a reminder, that's star one to join the queue for questions. Our next question comes from Barbara Levings with the class of 1947.
Hi. I'm from a generation that did not really go in much for careers. We were mainly stay-at-home moms who did a lot of volunteer work. But I am interested in what you told about the careers, but I'm also interested in student life. I'm concerned about the resident halls. I'm wondering if they are overcrowded, if there are singles available. Would it be wise to build a new dormitory because the population of students has increased so much since the so-called new dorms were built in the 1950s?
That's a great question and a concern that all of us have here at the college. We want to make sure that our student life experience is extremely strong. Our interim dean of students, Carol Bate, has been actively participating in conversations not only with our board of trustees but with President Johnson to talk about what student life and what that experience will be like for all of our students as we continue to move forward into the future. I can assure you that I will pass your message along to Carol and to President Johnson and let them know that you would like a follow-up regarding our student life and, in particular, the residence halls.
And our next question comes from Jody Strakosch, class of 1979.
Thank you. It's very exciting about the Career Center and the work that you're putting out, and I'm wondering if you're planning to do anything around helping the students figure out how to do some basic financial things like budgeting, paying off their college debts, which I know isn't as large at Wellesley as it is at other institutions, but also starting to save for things that will be very far off to them, such as retirement.
Jody, this is such a great question and one that is also very important to us. I've actually been in conversation with one of your fellow alumna, Charlotte Hayes, down in D.C. around financial planning, and Charlotte may actually be on this call today. It is something that is really important to us because it is part of building a meaningful life and a meaningful future for yourself. One of the things that Wellesley has actually implemented a couple years before I came here is a program in the spring semester called Life After Wellesley. And it's actually a series of workshops, and I believe it's actually a multi-day or multi-days event where multiple organizations, offices here at the campus come together to actually plan a number of these types of workshops, whether it's financial planning, whether it's looking at a lease, thinking about buying a home, how to cook, how to do really basic things that, quite frankly, aren't always so basic, and that would be really nice to be able to get the expertise of an alumna or of professionals that have gone through that. So this is a component of what we want to work in, and we are part of that planning group of the Life After Wellesley event. So we definitely will have components around financial planning, and we look forward to actually engaging more alumni that might have expertise in this area who may be in the Boston area or who may wish to offer either one-on-one advice to students who might have more personal questions or those who may wish to present on the topic.
And just as another reminder, that is star one to join the queue for questions. Next, we'll hear from Catherine Collins, class of 1990.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for everything that you're doing, and thanks for the call today. I'm wondering, just knowing that you did such great due diligence on Wellesley as an organization and institution and also met with a lot of students and community leaders before you even got going, now that you're kind of settled in, what strikes you as being, you know, especially unique about Wellesley's situation or about the strategy that's needed to move this area forward for the college, and just what has surprised you most?
Sure, absolutely. Wow. Well, I think one of the things that has certainly struck me as unique, having worked at several other institutions and now being at Wellesley, is the level of engagement. not only from the students, but from the alumni. Every other institution I've worked at and many of my peers' institutions would be jealous of just how engaged our students are in the way that they take initiative, in the way that they think about and want to actually explore how they're thinking, how they're feeling, the types of internships, fellowships, experiences that they have, what that might mean, what type of impact that might have, as well as once they've graduated, the alumni base caring so deeply about the students that are here and wanting to do everything that they can, whether it is talking to a student, whether it is participating in a panel, whether it is giving. There's so much engagement. There's so much love. It's very, very clear that the community is far stronger here at Wellesley than it is at pretty much any other institution I have worked at or seen. I would also add faculty. To that group. It is unusual to see the level of dedication and commitment that the faculty have for their students. There are certainly amazing faculty at many other places who do a wonderful job teaching and doing research, but I think one of the pieces that I find most unique about the faculty here at Wellesley is how well they get to know each individual student and how well they actually know their stories and what they wish to do, what their desires are, what their fears are, and even how they want to be motivated. I think that partnership between our entity, our office as Career Education, with our faculty, with our alumni, and also with our campus partners and employers is a very powerful mechanism as we move forward. And I will just say, some of the pieces of what we have built here with the College Career Mentors, for example, that is something that you will not find at any other institution. That is a unique component of what we have built here. And I can definitely say that many of my peers have called to find out how we're doing it and if they might be able to find a way to replicate it, but so far not yet. So happy to share that that is going very, very well.
And our next question comes from Charlotte Hayes, class of 1975.
Hi, Christine and Charlotte. I'm so glad you're doing this call. And, just to echo what you said about the financial thing as well as what you just said about the network. And, in fact, I'm late in life trying to find a new job and just found a new job, and it is all through the Wellesley Network. And it's a very, very strong network. And one of the things that you and I discussed is that when students come through here and all kinds of other alums come through Washington and are looking to connect with our network here, one of the things that we always talk about is how strong that is and how Wellesley women help each other, advise each other at all kinds of different levels. And yes, the financial piece is one that the students brought up in this summer. I've dealt with the summer program for the last 15 or so years, and they are, as always, Wellesley women are amazing, and they asked for a briefing by someone in the financial realm. And I found a woman who actually has an old friend who is also Wellesley, who I actually introduced you to when I was up for the inauguration. So, yes, we have a line into that, and it should be an important part of people's learning as they leave Wellesley and as they participate in Wellesley with student loan crisis the way it is and people taking on this kind of debt. But I just want to say that I've spent some time with you, and it's an extraordinary – I'm just, like, pumped because you're going to give Wellesley – like Dr. Johnson's giving Wellesley a whole new breath of life and building on what we have, which is so incredibly strong.
Charlotte, thank you so much. You are such a delightful person to chat with. Thank you.
And moving on, we'll hear from Sandra Howe, class of 1960.
Yes, I was wondering if you have any figures on, like, a recent graduate class within 6 months or a year. How many of the students have jobs, internships, have definite plans for further education or haven't made decisions? Do you keep statistics on that?
Yes, Sandra, we do. And actually, since I've arrived in January, we have updated our first destination survey to follow all of the new guidelines that have been put out by the National Association of Colleges and Employers, otherwise known as NACE. In 2012, they actually implemented some new national standards and have been encouraging colleges and universities across the nation to follow those standards. So as of the class of 2016, this past June, we did start to implement that, which does mean that we're currently still in the collection phase as it is still within 6 months of graduation. So I should have the class of 2016 data to share with all of you easily in the spring semester. What I can share with you, though, is for the past several years, class of 2013, 14, and 15, I can share some of the general statistics. Approximately 70 to 72% of our students typically go on to full-time work after graduation, and approximately 12 to 14% choose to go to graduate school. That is most common and most typical. The most popular industries that our students choose to participate in or to go into are business, finance, consulting, healthcare, and education. And we are seeing a trend towards more students getting interested in technology. I don't think that necessarily surprises anyone. And certainly our students are going off into very competitive graduate schools. We do know through an alumni survey that within 10 years of graduation, 80 to 85% of our alums will go on to get a second degree, master's or PhD. So that's extremely high. And we do know that I want to say I'm going to undershoot because I don't want to overpromise this, but I believe the stats I most recently saw were easily approximately 70% of our students participate in at least one internship during their time here at Wellesley.
And our next question comes from Jennifer Caller, class of 1987.
Hi, Christine and Charlotte. Thank you very much for hosting this call today. I was privileged to hear you speak, Christine, at ALC a few weeks ago, and I'm really impressed with your leadership and with the program overall. My question's about your operations and analytics team. You mentioned marketing. How are you planning, or how is the marketing team planning to let the wider community know about Wellesley's leadership in career education, particularly as it relates to admissions and prospective students and families?
Absolutely. We've started discussions with Dean St. John around how we will be working with admissions. Once we have some of our first destination data, which as you can imagine is something that all of our prospective students and parents are most interested in, we'll be creating some nice infographics that all of the admissions counselors will be able to take with them on the road. We are also in the process of creating some small, we're calling them booklets, but they're essentially really small square booklets that really highlight the best of our internship programs, our fellowship programs, and we'll be creating a collateral piece for our overall career education as well. In terms of also promoting and allowing the new model and what we're doing here at Wellesley to also be seen, a lot of that is also done through the profession. So I am currently serving as the board of directors for NACE, for the National Association of Colleges and Employers. I am regularly asked to consult and to speak on the topic at other institutions and at other colleges as keynotes. I encourage all of my staff to be regularly submitting proposals for presentations at conferences. And we also are being featured in some of the more popular news outlets as well. So just a couple weeks ago, there was an article that came out in the Chronicle for Higher Education about reinventing the Career Center, and Wellesley and our new model, portion of our new model, was highlighted in that as well.
And as another reminder, that is star one if you'd like to join the queue for questions. Moving on, we have Alexandra Solomano, class of 2010.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for speaking to us today. I was curious if you could provide a little, a couple more examples of student feedback you've received on what's been implemented so far, and talk a little bit about the mechanisms that you have to continue to collect feedback and improve upon what you all are doing.
Absolutely. That is a great question and one that was also very important to us as we looked at the new model. So those of you that are in fields that use the Net Promoter Score, you'll be familiar with that metric. For those of you that are not, the Net Promoter Score measures customer experience and predicts growth and loyalty. So this is a great indicator of how students are feeling about us. After students have interacted with us, we have them provide us a Net Promoter Score. The score of a 9 or 10 is a promoter and someone that is an attractor for your organization. On a scale of 1 to 10, our current Net Promoter Score is a 9.08. So we are thrilled with that just a couple of months after rollout. For those of you that might be interested in sort of a comparison, since a net promoter score was not a metric that was used in the past. We did have a satisfaction metric that was used. In the past, when I arrived, my understanding was that the satisfaction with the CWS was at a rousing 34%. And currently, our customer satisfaction score is at 97%. So, again, just in a couple of months, we've been able to see a huge increase. To provide you with a few testimonials, which I think are fabulous from students, one student said, quote, "I finally feel supported in terms of preparing for a post-Wellesley career and would highly recommend career education to my friends." And another one wrote, "I love how tailored the advisors are to each student's path." So that's just an example of some of the feedback that we're receiving from students. However, all that being said, we're thrilled that it's positive. We want it to stay positive. And so we have also implemented a new ambassador program through Career Education, where we meet with a representative group of students once a month to actually share with them some of the new initiatives, some of our new ideas, some of the things that we're thinking about. And we really engage them in sort of a brainstorming session around what do they think, will it resonate with the students, are they confused, do they like it, things like that. And we always welcome feedback from them on sort of what's working, what's not working, and look for those themes and trends to be able to keep up with what's happening. More importantly, we're also looking at what is happening with our employers. We really want to make sure that we're keeping abreast of how recruiting practices are changing or not changing, what are the needs of our employers as their budgets and their college recruiting practices ebb and flow. And so we also want to make sure that we are merging the trends that we're hearing from our other stakeholders along with what our students' needs are as well.
Our next question comes from Rachel Robbins, class of 1972.
Hi, Christine. This all sounds terrific and very exciting. When I graduated, the classes around me, we all thought we could do everything, and many of us have had very successful careers and families. But what I've seen in 3.5-plus decades, both in the legal field, in finance, in development, is that the business models are built around one parent working and one at home, and very difficult for two career families. What is Wellesley doing to come up with new business models that will work so many talented women don't drop out, as many, many young ones are in their 30s or 40s from the Wellesley?
That's a great question. I keep saying that. I'm going to stop saying that. But I do appreciate what you're bringing up. It's something that a lot of our students think about. I can definitely share that our students ponder this question. They consider it. They think about their values. They look at what they've experienced from their parents or from their grandparents even, and they are asking us a lot of questions about what this might look like and how they might navigate it. The question is really personal, and it's one in which we are working very closely with students to help them figure out how to intersect their values with the realities of what currently exists, as well as helping them think through how to find companies that might align with the type of lifestyle that they're also really interested in having. On the employer side, what I would say to the question around how might we be informing different business models, it's a conversation that we have regularly with recruiters, with employers. One of the benefits of the National Association of Colleges and Employers is that it's the only organization, it's the only association that actually brings together folks from the college side and folks from the employer side to be able to have these types of dialogues. I can also share that professionally, I have been invited to several groups that are invite-only, that also have employers and career services professionals to precisely talk about these types of things. Sometimes employers need a little bit of pressure and a little bit of feedback from their colleagues in the colleges or in career services for them to be able to bring that back to their organizations to talk to their leadership about what that might look like. There are more and more companies. Patagonia is an excellent example of one that is extremely balanced and family-friendly for both fathers and mothers. recognizing that it is not a just a female issue, but that it's an every person issue. We have companies like EY and Deloitte and many of the other large firms that are starting to recognize how important it is to their diversity, to their talent pools, and to the success, quite frankly, of their bottom line to ensure that they are not losing really intelligent, smart women right at the peak of their careers. So this is a conversation that we will continue to engage in both on the national level as well as on a more personal level with the recruiters that that we also partner with here at Wellesley.
Next we'll hear from Margaret Hastings, class of 1958.
Hello, this is Margaret Hastings, class of 58. I wanted to talk to you about the whole issue of the aging wonderful Wellesley person and what kinds of things you see them doing in their later years and what kinds of jobs you see them doing, whether they are fundamentally paid jobs or they are ones that they give of themselves. But I do think one of the most important things you could be doing is preparing our students for each of the phases of their life so that they find that it is really exciting with each one of these decades. And I was quite impressed when I was at the campus recently.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, I was just in the Bay Area, and I was just meeting with some alums these past few days, and I was just speaking to an alum that retired about 5 to 10 years ago, and she was talking about this precise topic. She was sharing how if she had only known that she would actually spend probably more of her time in retirement than she would in her career, she would have really started to think about the ways in which she might engage post-career. And she was a lawyer. She was a general counsel for a large corporation. And she was expressing to me and sharing the experience of what it's been like for her to start to really ask herself, what is she interested in? Beyond what she needed to do to help support her family and what she was good at in her career, she wanted to start looking into volunteer opportunities, ways to serve on corporate or nonprofit boards, ways to give back to her immediate community, the town in which she lived in. And she has found some different nonprofits that she volunteers with on a regular basis and has also been able to find a lot of time for her personal and family life. And as we were talking, it struck me that this is exactly something we need to have more conversations about and we need to think about in regards to our new alumni career advancement team. And if you were willing, it is something that I would love to continue the conversation with you about in thinking through how we might best prepare our alums for each stage of their life. And, of course, knowing that it is different and unique for each person and what they may wish to do or how they might wish to engage with meaningful work. And as you said, meaningful work could be for pay or it could be the way in which you contribute to your community. I think it is important, and it is something that I would not say we are experts in at the moment, but it's something that we're starting to read the literature. We're starting to try and understand the research and talk to folks that have actually had storied careers and successful lives by all measures of that definition. And so if you're willing, I would certainly love to continue the conversation with you.
And moving on, we'll hear from Jamie Anderson, class of 2005.
Hi there. Really excited, as everyone else is, about having you on board. Congratulations. And I've had over a decade's worth of work with the Center for Work and Service, interviewing, mentoring students, and then at my firm, hiring them. And so I'm really interested in some of the nitty-gritty that you've encountered if you've joined. I know that the Center for Work and Service had grappled a lot with the grading policy and how to communicate that to potential employers. Sometimes employers were very knowledgeable about it, and sometimes they weren't, and it could put our students at a disadvantage. I'm curious how you've experienced it, if you feel like we've overcome that hurdle and it's nothing that we really need to deal with going forward, or if that's something that you're still thinking about.
Yeah, it's something we're still thinking about. The grading policy in particular, we have a bit of a better reach with our graduate schools and our law schools and med schools. We've done a lot of communication with those individuals around what it means, and just the depth and the gravity of when you see a Wellesley student with an A or a B+, it means something and it carries weight. We've been able to really communicate that to our grad schools. When it comes to employers, that is an area where I think we're good with some, but we are not yet good with others, and we still have more work to do in that area. Part of what we didn't have before was the infrastructure and enough staff members to be able to more proactively communicate that to the various industries and the various employers that we work with. And now that we have the career community advisors, they are able to have a much more personal and customized conversation and relationship with the different employers in their areas. And that has allowed us to begin to really have these types of conversations. So I know that all the advisors have started to think through for their respective communities, what does it look like? Is it as important? Obviously, as you can imagine, some of the career communities face a much more stringent GPA cutoff for their applications versus others. The process has been and will remain, at least for the time, for the short near-term future, will be more inclusive and will be more holistic in that way. One of the other things that I will say perhaps has shifted since you first started to be involved with CWS is that the conversation around the value of a liberal arts degree has really, really amplified. And that is something that we are working day and night with our employers to help them understand the value of what they are going to get from a Wellesley graduate, their writing, their speaking, their critical thinking, their analytical skills with data or with other information, their ability to synthesize, right? These are skills that across the board our employers are looking for, they're impressed by when they actually meet our students. And so those are also some of the pieces that we really try and make sure it's clear in the conversation so that they're not just looking at a GPA, but they're looking at the total student and the total package of what they'll be able to receive here at Wellesley.
And once again, for any questions, that is star one to join the queue. Next, we have Leslie Topfer, class of 1968.
Hi. I'm a retired executive search person. And really compliment you on what you've been doing for the students and for the alums. But on this call, basically, are givers and fundraisers. And would you speak to your funding? I know that from the campaign you've received a great seed donation, but are you going to be doing marketing to, in the same way Friends of Art and other divisions are doing it? Where does your budget come from? Are you getting from the college budget, or how much needs to be raised? Because maybe we can help.
That's a great question. I love help. So let me kind of take it all back. We did receive a very generous gift from two of our alumni, and that really – essentially consider them my angel investors. So they have allowed us to really launch and be able to kick off many of the changes that we have in store. With that being said, we do need to raise a significant amount more in order to endow all of our positions. And so we are looking to raise quite a bit of money, and we're working very closely with our colleagues and resources around a strategy for exactly how we will do that and how we will reach out to all of the different alums and to corporations as well in that effort and as we move forward with that. I do receive a budget from the college. I will share, it is $70,000, so it is not significant in any stretch of the imagination. And so we do rely heavily on the support of our very generous alumni. And to my knowledge, that has always been the case. So that isn't necessarily something that has changed. We certainly do have great support from the administration and from the new president for this initiative, and we're really excited about all of the energy that we've been able to garner from many of you in this initiative and in this effort, and I would love to continue the conversation. So thank you.
And once again, that's star one for any questions at this time. And ladies, it looks like we have no further questions from the audience.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Christine, for sharing the exciting progress made under your leadership and your vision for the future of career services at Wellesley. We are incredibly excited about what is to come. I would also like to thank all of our call participants for joining us this afternoon and for your generous support of the college. Thank you very much.
Goodbye. And that does conclude today's conference. If participants have any further questions, you may contact the Office for Resources at 781-283-3482. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.